broadcasting live from the KMOX Metro Imaging Studios.
Reminding you to schedule your 3D mammogram today.
America, John Grayson here with you, and very pleased to have our next guest back with us here on the broadcast. As you heard earlier this week, right after the debate, Niall Standage joined us from the Hill in studio. It was nice to have him in town for the debate. And now we have, talking a little politics with us, our good friend Ronald Fineman. He is the Progressive Professor, and that's where you can find him online, is at theprogressiveprofessor.com. And Professor, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much for inviting me back. I'm very delighted to speak with you again.
It's always a pleasure. And boy, no shortage of things to talk about. So
not boring.
Let's dive right in. Yeah, right. It's, I guess, in this political season, if we were waiting for the October surprise, it dropped last Friday. We're still trying to work out in terms of the polling information coming in. We're getting some indications, but we're still trying to work out exactly what that audio tape of Donald Trump talking about, well, several things regarding women, is going to do to his campaign. Take us through this. What should we be expecting over the next 7 days or so as this information continues to solidify?
Well, based on the NBC Wall Street Journal poll, it looks like Hillary Clinton's lead is doubling, at least as far as lead. She's up to 11 points if you count all four candidates, or 14 points if you just count the two candidates. And I have a feeling, maybe not to that extent, the doubling, but I do think she's likely to continue to gain and he's likely to continue to lose. And meanwhile, the Republican Party is in total chaos and civil war, it seems, and it's a bad omen for the future of the GOP.
And that chaos and civil war that you talk about, I guess, is personified in the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, who has been making statements that seem on the outside strong statements, saying that he's not going to campaign for Donald Trump. He's not going to support him anymore. He's not going to defend him anymore. And yet he hasn't rescinded his endorsement. What does that mean?
Well, I think he feels as leader of the party that he can rescind the endorsement, but that could hurt him also. I mean, I think he's in danger of losing his seat in Wisconsin. There's a good chance, even though his opponent is obviously a Democrat, but, you know, it's not a Republican. But I do think that there could be alienation toward him and many others. And there's a chance, not likely to happen, that there could be a Democratic control of the House, although they would have to gain 30 seats, which would be quite an accomplishment if they did. But I think it is possible because of the alienation of so many people toward Donald Trump.
So who's still there? I mean, we know about the surrogates, but in terms of people who are in Congress, people who are in power at the moment, who is still there for Donald Trump? Where does he draw upon for his base of support inside the GOP?
Well, he's got Jeff Sessions of Alabama.
Who was there with him for a long time.
Yes, and of course, he makes George Wallace from the past look awfully good because he defends sexual assault. Uh-huh. I couldn't believe what he said yesterday.
Right.
Of course, Sean Hannity, who's on talk radio, is a vehement supporter, but Glenn Beck turned against him, and so did Hugh Hewitt. So there's a split among conservatives, among Republicans, and and also Marco Rubio, while not thrilled, is still backing him, but I don't think that's a good omen for him in Florida. That could change the result of that seat. In the election, there are very few people willing to come out and support him at this point, and he is raging on Twitter, meanwhile, and I think that only adds to the image of him being off the wall.
Yeah, and there's an interesting dynamic going on there, too, between Florida and Georgia, where you have Florida moving farther and farther, and all of the numbers are trending in Hillary's direction, but there was a time not that long ago where Hillary was just barely slightly ahead in some of the polls in Georgia, and she hasn't mm-hmm. been close since. Florida, however, has her leading. So, that border seems to be a pretty stark one, but why is it that she's been able to connect that support back in Florida, and it hasn't much done her good in Georgia?
Well, I think in Florida, you have to realize that there's a growing number of people in Central Florida who migrated from Puerto Rico, and they are, of course, citizens automatically. And I gather a lot of them are registering or have registered and plan to vote. And most Hispanics in the country, except for Cubans maybe, are basically Democrats anyway. And with a growing number of Puerto Ricans, particularly in Central Florida, I think the I-4 corridor is no longer so much of a swing area. I think it's going to guarantee her victory in Florida. And meanwhile, Arizona looks like it could turn. Some polls indicate Arizona, and that could affect John McCain, even though he's now repudiated Trump completely. But I think Arizona could turn, and North Carolina looks like it is turning, and they had gone for Obama in 8, but for Romney in 12. So North Carolina would add a lot to the coalition around Hillary, even if she loses Iowa, which looks possible now, and even possibly Ohio. But she has so many different possibilities of how to gain 2.5 70 or more electoral votes. And I honestly cannot imagine she's not going to win at this point.
All right, we got a lot more talking to do. Plenty more analysis coming from the progressive professor, Ron Fineman. We'll do it just after the bottom of the hour. Stay with us as Overnight America continues. Overnight America, 35 now past the hour. John Grayson here with you, hanging out and doing some talking. And as our political reporter was here with us early in the week to do some talking right after the presidential debate, we have online with us the progressive professor, Ron Fineman, who has been here to analyze what's going on in politics for us several times in the past. And lucky to have him back here with us on the program tonight. We'll talk a little bit about his book on assassinations in just a little while as well. But before we get there, Ron, you mentioned that you perceive some trouble, some possible trouble for John McCain. Right now, he's way out ahead of Ann Kirkpatrick by anywhere between 15% and 19%, which is about all you could hope for, I guess, at this point in the race. However, you said you foresee some possible trouble for him. Is that just from Donald Trump chasing Republicans away from the polls, making them stay home instead of voting?
That would seem to be it. And I think that, you know, he's always had difficult races, and I think this time he may finally lose McCain. I have a feeling he's going to be in trouble. And I think, although right now Rubio's ahead of Murphy in Florida, I think that his stand is not going to be helpful to him, and it's going to be a much closer race.
You know, there's an interesting thing going on right now, and I had figured that if Mike Pence was going to drop from the ticket, he would have done so before the debate. He didn't, and he's stayed, and he's said several times that he's going to stay. But when Donald Trump effectively undercut him during the debate, I think it gave him one more reason to get out. And a lot of people had said, well, here's a guy who's looking forward to making a run for the presidency at the top of the ticket in 2020 when this ticket loses. So if that's the case, is Mike Pence damaging his chances 4 years down the road by not leaving now?
I think he is, and I don't think he's going to get very far in 2020. He'll be out of office after this year. He was not a popular governor in Indiana. He's not running for re-election, obviously. And I think, you know, he may have been a former office holder, but I don't think he's going to have much chance. I think more likely if Ryan survives, he will run. And, of course, Ted Cruz will run. And I would also include someone that a lot of people now wish had been the Republican nominee, because he probably could have won, John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, who is so mainstream, you know, conservative, but mainstream, where I think he could really appeal and could still be around. He's still young enough to come back in 2020.
You know, and Mike Pence knows how to do the speaking engagements, knows how to debate, knows how to put on the show. John Kasich, it seemed that's where his weakness was. He couldn't connect with the audience on that stage full of 16 people.
People.
Remember that?
That's funny.
Yeah, it was a while ago, but that's what he was dealing with. I mean, there were 10 at one point because they split up the debates, but it's crazy.
That's true because of the age of Trump, but I do think if he's the governor of Ohio and he could run again, I don't think there's any limit on terms there. After he's very popular in Ohio, he did win the Ohio primary,
right,
and he did very well. I still think he's a very solid person with a solid background. And I think among the Republicans we talk about, he's the one that more independents and Democrats could tolerate in 2020. I cannot see them, and after all, there are more independents and Democrats than Republicans. I do not see them backing Pence or Cruz. Ryan, I doubt also. I think Kasich is the one. But, of course, whenever I suggest someone, it usually destroys his reputation. So maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
Ron Fineman is here with us, the progressive professor. And so as we look at what's going on with Hillary Clinton, support right now. Obviously, she's gaining as Donald Trump is losing. But you'd figure that because it's been said over and over and over again, the unlikability for both of these candidates is higher than it's ever been for a pair of candidates in a presidential election.
Very sad. Yes.
So it seems like that would open the door for one of the two third-party candidates. What's been going on with their support over the last week or so?
Okay, well, Gary Johnson will do better than Jill Stein, and he's up to like 8 or 9%, but he's dropped a bit. And he has really come across as not understanding the world, foreign affairs. You know, he didn't know what Aleppo was. He didn't know who the leader, or wasn't willing to say who the leader of North Korea is, which is beyond belief. he seems out of it. And I actually, and I'm not saying it to be funny, I think that his use of pot as regularly as he was using it has affected him in his memory somewhat. And I think he's lost a lot of credibility as an alternative candidate. And he cannot win in any case. No third party wins. And I think that he probably hurts Hillary more, but now it seems like he's declining a bit because of these recent events. And I do think that that his total will not be as high as it once seemed it would be.
If he had been a more solid guy, if he had been, oh, I don't know, like a John Anderson type, would he have,
oh, yes,
would he have beaten John Anderson's support?
Well, John Anderson ended up with 7%. He had 15% of the polls in 1980, but at the end he got 7%. Even I flirted with voting for him. I almost did, and it turns out my PhD advisor, Arthur Schlesinger Jr., did vote for Anderson in 80, and he was always a strong Democrat, and Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis voted for Anderson in 1980, amazingly. And when I heard that just recently, I said, gee, maybe I should have done that in 1980. But Anderson, in fact, I'm going to try to publish an article on History News Network. I've published, amazingly, this year, 39 articles, mostly on the election, some on other events in my book, also on assassinations. But John Anderson, I think, is the best third-party candidate we've had in a long time, and he was a solid Illinois House member, a moderate conservative, and very appealing at the time, but he's been forgotten, and he's still alive. He lives in Fort Lauderdale. He's 94 years old now.
Well, some of us still remember him, and
yes.
And it's. I mean, you had at that point, you had a very, very weak Jimmy Carter who was coming off the first 4 years, and that's where the Reagan Democrat coalition came from. So, in a time like this, where everybody has chosen teams and the rancor is at an all time high, and we've got two weak candidates again, it makes you wonder. Okay, so you said that Gary Johnson is going to beat Jill Stein's support.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Jill Stein comes across as really not very effective and
way out
not
there.
Much credibility at all, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, we look, I hate to do this. I hate to jump 4 years ahead. But, boy, I mean, even with some of the names that have been out there, it just makes you wonder if there's ever going to be another situation where there will be someone to vote for instead of against.
Either party you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, my hope would be, if Hillary Clinton stays in good health, that she would be popular by 2020, would recover her reputation. Because really, even though she looks bad right now to many people, she has quite an admirable record if you look at her whole career. And yes, she's made mistakes, and in fact, I've even said to people, her mistake looking back was agreeing to be Obama's Secretary of State. She probably should have stayed in the Senate and served 16 years and had a record of voting, yes, but she would have had far less trouble if she had not been the Secretary of State. But she committed herself to it, and she traveled a million miles and did so much stuff, and not all of it worked out, but actually, she certainly has stamina, despite what Donald Trump says, and he can't even go through an hour and a half without sniffling and breathing heavily.
It's true. And building a record can help some, but I mean, there are so many people who hate her at a visceral level, and she's never going to win them over. You just can't. I mean, being a good president can get you something. I don't think it can get you them, huh?
Well, I think some of that is misogyny, though, don't you think?
Well, I mean, sure. And again, some of it's the fact that she was tied to Bill Clinton and, with the impeachment and everything. I mean, I think if we saw anything in the debate, it was that there are still people that Donald Trump was trying to play to. How many of them there are, I guess we'll find out on Election Day. But the ones that he was trying to play to who are still angry about all of that.
But interestingly, Bill Clinton still rates high in public opinion polls. He always has.
Yeah.
That's what amazes me. So it's almost like, I'm not saying, of course, his record. If he didn't have that record of that event and he just had his record and he was running now, I think he'd be probably much more popular than his wife. I still think a lot of it's misogyny and some of it's about him, but there's still loads of people who love him. And when he does someday pass away, I think there'll be deep mourning at his passing, while some will be, of course, gleeful. But, he's an interesting character because he's loved by many, but he's also hated viscerally by many. It's amazing,
Right, right. And a lot of the, even the visceral hate against Nixon late in his life had waned. There were people who were just, I guess, tired of it, maybe. So there was that same sort of dichotomy of opinion when he passed away a few years back. So,
1994,
right, yeah. It'd be interesting to watch. And again, Ronald Fineman is here with us. You can find him online at theprogressiveprofessor.com. So let's talk a little bit about the things that came up in the debate, the sort of gotcha moments and the idea. Donald Trump has been raked over the coals for saying that Hillary would be in jail if he were president. Compared to a third world dictator and all of this.
Yes.
Take us through that moment. What does all of that mean?
Well, I think it's reckless and irresponsible. You cannot tell your attorney general to pursue a case against your opponent. That's against the Constitution. And we've had Mukasey, the attorney general under the second Bush, who said it's outrageous that he even suggested that it would never happen. And I don't think anything she has done is enough to cause her to go to jail. And I think seeing people saying that at these rallies, and I just saw a photograph of a rally, I'm not sure where it was, I think in Pennsylvania, where this man has a shirt that uses the C word, four letters ending yep. with T, and his wife or girlfriend is next to him, and I'm thinking, why are you next to this jerk? I'm thinking about her, and how can you do this? I mean, to me, it's just beyond the pale, that kind of thing. It really is.
Yeah.
It's disgraceful behavior at these rallies, and I'm worried that, and I've written on the History News Network, that that he may never concede, and every candidate who's lost an election has conceded, every last one. They might have been upset and bitter, but if he doesn't concede, even though it's clear that he's lost, it's going to cause, I think, all kinds of trouble and people marching and demonstrating. It could lead to violence, really. It worries me a great deal.
What effect would that have on the Electoral College vote? Any?
Well, the electors do have the right to, you know, actually to do what they want to do, but the assumption is she's going to have a high enough electoral vote that it will not make a difference, even if one or two electors was to abandon and not vote for her. But, of course, if it ends up being a 2000 election, oh, my gosh, what a mess. It would be unbelievable if it was really close. But honestly, I have an article, that's going to be coming out at History News Network about those candidates that have fell under 40% at the end. I don't think he's going to gain 40% of the total vote. I think he'll be joining George H.W. Bush in 1992, George McGovern in 1972, Alf Landon in 1936. Now, could he go as low as William Howard Taft, 23% in 1912, the worst ever? No, but I do think he's not going to gain 40% of the vote at the end. It seems like he's now listed as mostly 35 or 36%
yeah.
in these recent polls. I don't think he's going to reach 40. So there's no way, except he could say it, but there's no real way for him to challenge if it's nowhere near close. So I'm hoping it will not be close because that could cause a constitutional crisis.
Sure, and there's, so the remedies, I mean, we saw what happened in 2000, and that was an interesting time to live through after the election there, but that one was razor fine in terms of the margin, especially in Florida. So if it is that far away, even if he doesn't concede, even if he, you know, says, oh, it was fixed, which he's already said several times, the fix was in and this was rigged somehow,
yeah.
There's not a whole lot of remedy for him at that point.
But I am concerned that there could be more assassination threats against Hillary Clinton in the next month and after. And, of course, that's why I wrote my book about assassination threats in the American presidency. I don't want to see another assassination attempt that, you know, it's a terrible thing and it should not occur. But he actually incites that with his own rhetoric in the last month or two.
Right. And well, we've seen the same kind of threats levied in the other direction as well, unfortunately. We'll do some more talking with Ron Feinman in just a couple, and we'll talk over some of that book about assassinations in the U.S. presidents. Stay with us. John Grayson here with you as Overnight America continues. It's an early Wednesday morning, and there's plenty more on the way. Overnight America continues. John Grayson here with you, talking it over with Ronald Feinman, the progressive professor, and that's where you can find him online at progressiveprofessor.com. And he also wrote the book on presidential assassinations, and we'll put a link to that up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/OA Radio Show. And we always hear about threats. They're always investigated, Professor, but what is it that worries you particularly, given your research about what's going on right now?
I think there's too much extremism out there and too much promotion of hate. And, you know, I think there are people out there that, even against Trump, there's probably some people who would like to kill him, too. But I do think that there's a lot of hate and that all you need is one crazy person, mentally ill, which is always what it is, who maybe has a political agenda as well, that decides that he's got to change the result of the election if she gets in or even try to do something to her now. I just think that there's enough people out there that are disturbed that just simply will not accept her victory. Or Trump, if he was to win, not accept his victory. And I think it's a very dangerous scenario, and I worry about it for the future. So I've said to some people, we're going to have a 45th president, but it's also possible in the next 4 years, God forbid, we could have a 46th president, and I bring out, who do you want if that was to occur, Tim Kaine or Mike Pence? And in my mind, definitely Tim Kaine, from my perspective anyway.
What would you expect from the progressive professor? But, you know, that's an interesting specter to raise, because I don't think anybody really has thought very much about that. My dad and I have had conversations about this, actually, because, you know, when you raise a specter like that, I think people naturally start eyeing toward the left. They all, you know, start eyeing toward Hillary Clinton, but...
Could be either way.
Exactly. Yeah. We've seen things in the past. There was an Israeli prime minister who was assassinated by somebody who was on his right. Thank you. Yeah, Yitzhak Rabin. And it was somebody.
1995. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. And so the idea that somebody could be upset enough at what they perceive as Donald Trump destroying their party could conceivably go nuts enough to try something stupid.
Yeah, well, also, I've seen on Facebook some preachers are saying that if Hillary Clinton wins, it'll destroy the country. We cannot have a woman running the government. The misogyny is very widespread, much more than one wants to accept. And it's terrifying, you know, because I think she's going to be under greater threat. Her husband was a number of times when he was in office, and the number of threats are growing, and Obama's had more to anybody since Abraham Lincoln. So I am concerned for her, because I think she's the winner, but also for him in this next month, that all you need is one person saying, I'm going to become famous, and I'm going to go after this SOB or DOB, whatever. And I just think it is very terrifying. And even once in office, I do think the vice presidency cannot be looked at as, oh, standby equipment. It's more than that. It could be, God forbid, that we will have a succession, because we haven't had anybody killed in office since 1963, and it's a long time.
Yeah, it
is.
And
that's worrisome, you know.
Well, and so let's talk a little bit about the near future, because we've seen political parties, even major political parties, fall apart and disappear. And then we've seen repair work done. What does the Republican Party do to repair the rift that's obviously there at this point?
It's going to be very difficult, because the Tea Party group does not want, it's going after Ryan even now. It's going to be very hard to reunify, and I've written that I think the Republican Party, as it is constituted, will probably not survive for long. And I've said we should bring back the Whig Party and bring back Henry Clay, Daniel Webster, John Quincy Adams, and Abraham Lincoln, all who were Whigs.
Right, well, you don't have to convince me, because I'm a several times great grandnephew of Henry Clay. So, hey, I'd be all for it, man. So,
I love Henry Clay. I think he's probably the best person who was nominated who was not elected president.
Yeah, yeah. So
he's great. I really admire him. I really admire him a lot. Not that he's perfect. Nobody's perfect. For those out there who complain that Hillary isn't perfect, neither
is
Donald. Nobody's
right.
Perfect. But I do think that Henry Clay. Wow, boy, I'm glad I know you.
Well, I can't say I ever met him, but still. Not quite. but there's one more thing that you put on your blog that I think is, again, fascinating. When we look at the personal dynamics that are involved in an election, is the state of Utah. What are you looking at Utah for? Because most people would say, oh, come on, slam dunk, 99.8% or whatever, it's going to go Republican.
Well, Utah's been Republican since 1968, every election, but it did not vote for Barry Goldwater, considered the most extreme candidate they nominated in their history before Trump. In 64, they did not. They also, if you go back from the time they became a state, in 1896, when they became a state, they voted for Democrat William Jennings Bryan. They voted for Woodrow Wilson, Democrat, in 1916. They voted for Franklin D. Roosevelt all four times, 1932, 36, 40, and 44, and for Truman in 48, and then they voted in 64. The point is, Mormons are usually very conservative, but they don't like Trump and what he has said about women. They don't like Trump and his ethics generally. They're turned off. And, of course, the former governor, John Huntsman, who I think is a very solid guy, by the way, he and Kasich are the two best people they've had running, in the last two rounds, but they got nowhere. But Huntsman turned against him, and also Congressman Jason Chaffetz has turned against him, and Mike Lee, who's also a Tea Party guy, though, has turned against him. And, you know, I just think that there's indications that the Mormons could, not so much loving Hillary, but voting against Trump, could possibly, possibly to fall way race, could give a plurality to Hillary. Could.
Well, yeah, if anything would stand the election on its head, it would be that, because like we said, right now it's about a 99% chance it's going to go red in the election, which I don't think would surprise much of anybody. But either way, Ron Fineman, we'll have you here with us on election night, and we'll talk to you, and thank you so much for being with us. In the meantime, check out his book, Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency. More to come on Overnight America.